Okay, Heavenly Father, we again come into your presence, Lord. We just thank you for this amazing time that you gather your people. And when two or three are gathered, you're right here with us, amongst us, teaching us, fellowshipping with us. Thank you for your amazing love and your grace. And bless these thoughts, this portion today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we'll do it's regular class, another class, and then at the beginning of the year, Pastor Keith is going to do a series on what, Zephaniah? It's good. Good stuff. So we're excited about that. Okay, so turn in your Bibles this evening to Colossians chapter 3. A couple weeks ago, I said, and it came from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where how basically it's worded is that we are here in Christ's stead. Remember that? Remember that verse? We're here in Christ's stead. Not alone, but very well equipped. We are equipped to do the work of the ministry. There's not going to be something that tells you to do without equipping you. You will be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So he equips us, and we are here in Christ's stead. Matter of fact, I think in verse 19 it says that 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says that we are ambassadors even. You're an ambassador. You're a very important person representing Jesus Christ right here on earth. That's amazing. And some of us don't walk in that authority, or they'll allow details of life to just overwhelm them and surround them and just suffocate them. And we don't walk as victorious. I see a lot of Christians walk around more as slaves and in bondage and hurting and in pain. And, you know, some of it happens, but a lot of it is where we have this authority and we're not walking in what Christ has given us to do. Colossians 3, verse 3, it says that you are dead. How do you like that one, Johnny, huh? You're dead. But that's not it. I mean, that's not the end. I mean, there's so much more to that. That this being dead in Christ is an amazing thing, really, because this is talking about yourself and your self-will and your the old sin nature and your flesh, and then it says, and you are hid, and your life is hid. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And I was thinking about that today, you know, what it really means to be hid. I mean, this is an amazing, it's really a place of that he is our hiding place. It's our protection. It's our fortress. But there's so much being there because it means that you're in Christ. You're hid with Christ in God. And this is where he uses us for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. And we are here in Christ's stead. And it means that we don't do this alone. We're not alone here. You know, we're not alone. We've got the body of Christ, but we've got so much authority. And I was thinking in Colossians also 2:10, a little bit before this, it says that you are complete in him. And it means you lack nothing. You're not in you might look at yourself and say, well, I don't have the ability to do that. Or I can never do that. Or I can't do this. Or I'm not equipped to do this. Or I'm not trained to do this. And this being complete in him, and then in him were hid. Being complete means we lack nothing. There's nothing that we lack. And he says that and because we are complete because that he is the head over all principalities, it says. He is the head over all principalities and powers. This is why we're complete. The principalities and the powers have no rule over the believer unless we're not hid. If we're exposed and open, we're open warfare. If you want to live in the flesh and you want to live in your old sin nature and not living in the new creation, then you come from under that covering and you're open. And this is where we're affected by principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Ephesians chapter 6:12 talks about. Let me just read that real quick. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." We're wrestling against them, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So these things are in high places. All this demonic warfare is all in high places. And this says here in Colossians that Christ is the head of all of that. And even in your translation, it might say he's over that. Christ is over all principalities. All this demonic warfare, Christ is over it. And we are hid in him. So that means we are above it too. And a lot of us will argue, well, that's your position. And it is true. And there's no better place to be than in your position. And if we can get our minds to catch up with where we are seated in our position, then our Christian ministry and our walk just goes so much smoother. We're not easily influenced and knocked down by everything that starts to come our way. And now we're starting to get victory over different things. In verse 9, here in in Colossians 2, it talks about this. In him, so it does say that we're hid, right, with Christ in God. And then in him, in Christ, it says that dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells within Christ. Now, what does that word fullness mean? What does that mean to you? We can open this up. You can talk. What does the fullness mean? You know what it means to be all the fullness of the Godhead. What is the full? Let me give you another verse. Maybe this will help.
The Trinity.
Yeah. That's the Godhead. That's the Godhead is the fullness, and the complete was what he mentioned in 10. So okay, that's excellent. Colossians 1. Find it. Help me. I know it's in here. 19. Okay. Colossians 1:19, there's the other place where this word fullness is. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." All the fullness is dwelling in Christ. And it is. It is the Godhead, and it is the Trinity, and that is all correct. A lot of us say it's the nature, it's all of what Christ is made up of, his love, his gentleness, his grace, and that's true too. I think it can even be narrowed down even more. I think the fullness is just God's presence. God's presence is all of his fullness. So if we are in Christ, we're in that presence, and we have all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in Christ. It dwells within Christ. So in his presence is fullness and joy. In God's presence is the fullness and joy. That's Psalm 16. All the fullness, all the Godhead, all the fullness dwells within him. And because our life is hid with him, we've got access to that fullness. We've got access to that fullness. Would you rather have access to his presence, or would you rather have access to this world and this world system? And some people are choosing that because a lot of their decisions, I mean, we shouldn't even leave the house without knowing that I am hid with Christ. I am in Christ today. Let's talk about, and keep this in mind, this fullness, but let's talk about, you know, like God's forgiveness for a minute. You know, God's forgiveness is believing in his word. Because his word tells me I'm forgiven. The word of God is the only source that can tell me I'm forgiven. Because forgiveness cannot just be a feeling. Because feelings wear off. It's got to be genuine truth. And I can only learn that from God's word. So how do I know I'm forgiven? You know, how can I come, you know, into that? Well, the word washes me. You know, I know I'm forgiven because this word will wash me. It'll cleanse me. It'll wash me. We are washed by the word of God in Ephesians 5:26. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. So I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm sanctified. These are all washing terms. I'm set apart. Set apart for what? The ministry. How do I do the ministry? As a matter of fact, let's take it. There is no ministry if you don't think you're forgiven. There isn't. You can't. It's impossible. Because you're going to be condemning yourself, and you're going to feel guilty all the time, and you're going to, you know, you're just not walking right. You know, everything is, you know, guilt and shame and condemnation and all that is upon you, and there is no ministry of forgiveness. You know, I have to allow the word to wash me and cleanse me, or it's so easy to live in the old sin nature's result of sin, you know, which is the guilt and the condemnation and the shame. And it's very easy to live in that. And that also depends upon your upbringing. You know, how you were upbringing. I mean, some people are very guilty because the way they were raised. You know, they were always told that, you know, and they always heard that. Now we've got to reprogram our thinking and hear what the Word says. And we must keep ourselves under the Word of God, and we must be constantly washed and constantly cleansed and constantly sanctified. And it's an ongoing process. And then I learn that, wow, I'm forgiven. God has really, you know, God forgave me. And God is forgiveness. And that's who he is. And that's his nature. And that's his presence. And in God's presence, you know, we have this forgiveness. So, because forgiveness says that I am fully forgiven. I am fully righteous. I am fully justified. I'm just because the Bible tells me it, not because I feel it. Because I'll have a feeling of self-righteousness, which leads to say that, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm right. I don't need a savior. I don't sin. It's a self-righteous attitude. And so God forgives because his word tells me it. You know, I can't say that I'm fully forgiven, though, and still live in the results of the old sin nature. That's a hypocrite. That's deceiving yourself. And we don't want to go that way. There, the power of sin is in the law, but all that power has been broken in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is such an amazing, victorious chapter for the believer. I think I'm going to start reading it like even you know, every day. But you know, Romans 6:14, Romans 6:18, Romans 6:22, there is no power. Sin has no power over the believer. It's been broken already by what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, what he set out to do. And when he rose from the dead, and he witnessed and visited the 500 and the 12 and everybody that he came in contact with, then he says, I'm going to give you now the Holy Spirit, and you're there in my stead. That's so amazing. And so we must know, though, these things, because if without knowing these things, it is so hard to walk the Christian walk. It basically beats you up. For example, I don't need to go around and keep on saying I'm a more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more. It's a fact. Because you're in and hid in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. It's not you're trying to strive it, or if I say it many times, I might finally believe it one time. This is a fact. And this is how we start to walk victorious. This is how we live the Christian life to the fullest. And again, in God's presence is that fullness and that joy. He gives us joy in the presence of his fullness. Okay, you get that? So we want to appropriate. We want to appropriate forgiveness. We want to experience it. This is things that you can experience. And why is that important? Because then it allows me to forgive others. And if you can't forgive others, you're always going to be stuck. You're just going to be stuck in the same old thing over and over and over. And then you're going to get tired of Christianity, and you're going to say, this doesn't work. And, oh, I read that Bible. It doesn't do nothing for me. Because you're trying to strive in it. And we must learn forgiveness. We must learn, especially over Christmas, we see many family members that won't even talk to each other because of unforgiveness. Don't ask what it was. They don't know why. It just is, you know. And yeah, you could have personality differences and different things like that. But you know what? We got to get over all that garbage, because that's all it is. It's just garbage that is hindering you from experience the fullness and the presence of God. So, you know, you can do this. And all this experiencing, by the way, is always through the Word of God. This is how He's going to speak to us. This is how He's going to communicate. This is where you're going to get a rhema. This is where the Word of God is going to be open to you. And this is how you're going to be washed. This is how you're going to be cleansed. This is how we're going to walk in victory. This is how you're going to experience liberty. This is how you're going to walk by faith. This is how you're going to walk in truth. This is how you're going to walk in love. This is how you're going to walk in all what Christ has for you. You can use the same thing for mercy, as the same way as you did forgiveness. We want to experience it. You can experience God's mercy. You can experience, that. And why is that important? Because God is only going to deal with you in mercy. And if you can't experience the mercy of God and understand that mercy endures forever, in Psalm 119, 124, it endures forever. It's always enduring. It's always there for you. Morning by morning, His mercy is always new. It's always available. It's always fresh. Because we apply mercy to ourselves and we extend forgiveness to others. So they're going hand in hand. They're going right with each other. But I can wake up every morning, no matter what I did the day before, and have a heavy pouring out of God's mercy in my life available, because it's the fullness of God. And now today I'm going to choose to be hid with Christ in God. You know, and we do it by faith. Same thing with love. I want to experience God's love. I want to experience it today. I want to come in contact with it through the Word. Through the Word, I'm going to experience His love. I'm going to appropriate it. And I might not feel like it, But that love of God goes beyond a feeling. It becomes a reality. What's more, trying to feel something or having a relationship with somebody real who is love? And that's what, you know, we would rather do. But we do it all by faith. We don't do it by feelings, because sometimes you're just not going to want to feel like doing it, you know. So that's where the step of faith comes in. And, you know, and all the other fruit of the Spirit, the patience, loving kindness, these are all areas that we get to experience from God, and as He appropriates it to us. Through the Word, by faith. Through the Word, by faith. Another good one, and we'll close. And we talked a little bit about this. How about this one too? Here's another one. How about evangelism? That's another one. It's one that we need to find ourselves hid in Christ, and because a lot of times we don't feel like knocking on doors, but the Bible tells me as a command to do it. So either I'm going to obey what the Word tells me because I've been convicted on it, or I'm going to give into my flesh. And sometimes we do give into our flesh and we're kicking like a little kid all the way down the road, you know. But then we start doing it, and all of a sudden the presence of God is now involved. And the whole circumstance and your whole day changes. Again, we take a step of faith. It's called faith obedience in Romans 1:5. Faith obedience. Not by works, but by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We operate by faith. We evangelize by faith. We counsel by faith. God counsels me by faith. God is going to counsel me today. He's going to counsel me through His Word. I get up saying that. And I look for the Word of God to become alive. God, I need a word from You today. What do You have to share with me today? And He will, because He's faithful. He is faithful to His people. Because He wants you to experience all the fullness and joy. He wants you to experience it. We are hid in Him. You're an ambassador. You are here in His stead. He's not going to leave you unequipped. He's not going to, you know, keep you dry for long periods of time. Sometimes we're dry, but that's to drive us more to Him. Okay, one last verse. Okay, so Psalm 33. Look at about this as just a little counseling verse. Psalm 33. Yeah. Verse 10. He says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel." Oh, no, okay, yeah, 11 is better. That's the counsel of to the heathen that he does not, there's no effect in it. And then he says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His hearts are to all generations." God's heart is towards you. God's heart is towards you. You are on God's mind. You're on His thoughts. And then we have Jesus Christ, who we're hidden as our intercessor, intercessing on our behalf. And He starts to counsel us. And that counsel is true. And that counsel, you can believe on, you can experience in, you can, hey, this is good counsel. You know, you might come to me or Pastor Keith, and we might see something, and you say, "Well, I gotta, let me talk to somebody else about that. I don't know if I like that." And then you go to somebody, but God's counsel is going to be right online, specifically for you, with you in His heart and you on His mind, and because God's thoughts are towards you, and He has given us a heart after Him, a new heart. So that's tonight. We need to learn to live in the truth that God has given us, You know, we are saved by grace through faith, and we need to live and walk our day the exact same way. I walk applying grace to my life. You know, I apply God's love. The Bible says God loves me. Sometimes that's hard for me to believe. But I've got to overrule that feeling and believe God's word. Because he says it, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to experience that love. Because God has promised to do that. And he does it through his counseling.